The 24th characteristic of truth is beyond proof.
Yeah, spiritual reality is nonlinear. That which is provable is linear. Therefore, you cannot prove spiritual truth. It's a complete subject of realization and needs no agreement, needs no verification. It needs nothing at all. It stands on its own. It can be corroborated, verified, testified to, but it cannot be proven. So that's why there's a diversity between science and spirituality. You see, because science goes up to the door, but it can't go through the door. Because to go through the door, you have to shift paradigm. You go from the linear to the nonlinear. And in the nonlinear, which is a different paradigm of reality, it's the context instead of the content. So provability is within the content. But context is something different. And, of course, the context of spiritual reality is infinite.
Well, I know the 25th characteristic of truth is that it's mystical.
It's termed mystical because it's beyond logical. Because it can't be intellectualized and mentalized, people go, oh, that's mystical. Mystical means in a different dimension, different paradigm. Spiritual truth emerges of its own when the obstructions to it are removed. It isn't something that's constructed, therefore it's not provable. When you remove the clouds from the sky, the sun shines forth. That's it. And removing the clouds does not cause the sun to shine, see?
The next characteristic is that it's ineffable.
And that means it's not capable of linear definition. The psychologist William James wrote a very famous book, and he was the one that really introduced the term ineffable to describe religious and spiritual experiences. It's purely subjective, and what happens is the content diminishes and is replaced by pure context with no linearity. That is not describable. So the problem in trying to describe spiritual realities, if you try to language it, is that the language is based on different premises than is pure subjectivity. So if you feel that you love something, appreciate something, etc., the best you can do is sort of a superficial explanation, but you can't really recreate the experience. You can't recreate it. It's ineffable.
The 27th characteristic is that truth is simplistic.
Yes, because it's nonlinear. See, linearity leads to complexity. Simplicity, the sky just is what it is, you see. The sunlight is what it is. Nature is what it is. And you see the perfection of all that exists. And for a person who can't see the perfection, it's impossible to have them see it. At a certain level, you see the intrinsic, stunning beauty of all that exists. Of course, one function of the artist is to select something, some small part of life, and bring it to our attention, take it out of the context in which it occurred, represent it in a different context, and now you can see its uniqueness and its stunning beauty. But until the artist pointed it out to you, you were oblivious to it. Degas, you know, showing the ballet dancers resting their feet and massaging their ballet slippers, you know. That's just a back-of-the-theater kind of a nothing event. But when he brought it forth, then you see the incredible design, and it's, of course, one of the most famous paintings in the world.
Right, right. Well, the 28th characteristic is that truth is affirmative.
Yes, it's beyond provability, therefore it's a beyond opinion, and it can only be confirmed by being it. You can only be that. So you can't confirm it or prove it. You can only know what it is to be a cat by being a cat. So you can write all the encyclopedias you want about catness. When you ask the cat, is that describing you? And they say, it's got nothing to do with who I am. Mm-hmm. You say to the cat, well, who are you? And the cat says, me. Yes, the dog, who are you? You read him all about the canine world, and he says, got nothing to do with who I am. You say, the dog, well, who are you? The dog says, well, I'm me. Subjectively, we're all just identify with our own existence.
Now, the next one's interesting is that truth is non-operative.
Yes, this is a little difficult to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's nonlinear, there's no this nor that. It's non-dualistic. Truth stands on its own. It doesn't do anything. You might say it's the stage, you know, like the sky doesn't do anything. It just is. So the ultimate reality, which is a subject of realization, is everything's meaning is what it is. The meaning of this table is completely explained by what it is. And any mentalization about it is unnecessary. Everything means what it is. What it is what it means. Yeah, when you say, who are you? And I say, you say, I'm me. That's because you see, that is a complete and total statement. It needs no amplification, you know?
Now, the 30th characteristic is invitational.
Yes, because spiritual truth attracts because of the power of its integrity. See, coercion, cults and various things like that, that use coercion and intimidation and such, are using force. Spiritual truth comes from power, and it attracts. It has a magnetic attraction to people who are over 200. To people who are under 200, it may have the opposite effect. They may avoid it because it's a different domain in which they can't survive. Because if your survival is based on falsehood, the last thing you want to do is face ultimate truth.
Mm-hmm. Characteristic 31 is that truth is non-predictive.
Just on the physical level, we saw from the Heisenberg principle that the state of the universe as it is now, which we can define by the Schrödinger equations, is changed by merely observing it. Then, because what happens is you collapse the wave function from potentiality to actuality, you now have a new reality. In fact, you have to use different mathematical formulas, the Dirac equations. So you've gone from potential into actuality. That transformation does not occur without the interjection of consciousness. Consequently, a thing could stand as a potentiality for thousands of years. Along comes somebody, looks at it differently, bang, it becomes an actuality. So the unmanifest then becomes the manifest as the consequence of creation. Therefore, predicting the future is impossible because you would have to know the mind of God, because creation is the unfolding of potentiality depending on local conditions and intention. You have no idea what intention is. Intention can change in 1 second from now. If the future was predictable, there would be no point to human existence because there would be no karmic benefit, no gain, no capacity to undo that which is negative. It would be confined to what is called predestination. You know? Predestination and predictions of the future miss the whole purpose of existence and human existence and jump the whole understanding of the evolution of consciousness. There would be no karmic merit nor demerit. There would be no salvation. There would be no heavens. There would be no stratifications of levels of consciousness. We would all just emerge perfectly in a perfect realm, and therefore there would be no purpose to this life at all. You know, it's an absurdity. It's an absurdity. Yeah, all of these predictions about the future are absurdities. And if you calibrate them, they're all way below 200. Beings from the future who don't even exist yet are going to enter your realm and tell you all this and that. You know, it's all poppycock. That's straight Dutch uncle talk.
Dutch uncle.
It pulls people in. Pulls